Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Scratch the Track podcast presented by the Dude and Grim Show and co-produced by Mr. IVEST. I'm the Dude.
And I'm Grim. And today we are doing part two of Dookie by Green Day. We're getting into the tracks. We're talking about our favorites. We're talking about our scratches.
Yes. If you haven't checked out part A, you can check that out now or you can check it out later. Essentially, we just talk
about
the album.
Existential questions.
Yeah. Does this album kind of still resonate? Is this album, you know, after 30 years, we got the 30th anniversary coming up. Is it Dookie or is it Fine Wine? Only you can tell.
Yeah.
So track number one, Grim.
Burnout.
Yeah, dude. So this song, essentially, I think it's a good first track. You know, I like how it starts with the kind of the quick rattle of the drums and everything, but it's,
could have been a handful of any of the other ones too, but I know what you mean.
Pretty much. But yeah. You know, a lot of these songs though are sort of based around, like we've talked about sort of this, the teenage angst, right? Sort of if John Hughes was a punk band, right?
Like something like that. And this is a good first track, I think, because it like presents this picture of this person and they're like, what category is this person going to get lumped into? Well, this is clearly a fucking burnout here, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, he even says, I mean, it's one of my favorite lines, you know, I'm not growing up, I'm just burning out. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like, man, you know, you're a teenage kid. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You don't have motivation to go anywhere and doing anything. So you're just kind of like, dude, you're just like treading water. Like that's all you're doing. And, you know, just kind of like figuring stuff out. And I think a lot of people, a lot of kids and younger kids in this time period, not that they couldn't relate to it now, but you know, now kids are more worried about creating shit for TikTok and Instagram and stuff. Whereas back then that didn't exist. And so it was like, man, it's like, what do you do? I don't know, man. Or just hang out and smoke weed. So track number two, Grim, Having a Blast. Now, this is an interesting song. And again, we talked about in a previous episode, maybe not fully understanding and reading as deeply into a lot of the lyrics and what these songs sort of were about and represented. But essentially, it's about like, dude, a mentally ill person who plans to use explosives to kill himself and others. Song did not age well.
No, it didn't. Not at all.
And again, there's sort of a, you know, we talked about this with Nine Inch Nails, Downward Spiral, sort of this, again, younger adult, teenage, just being angry.
Yeah.
Just angry. I hate my dad. I hate my job. All this stuff. I hate my life. Not to say that stuff doesn't still exist, but it seemed like it was very prevalent in a lot of songs around this time period.
Oh yeah. Because
a lot of bands.
Yeah, for sure. That, I mean, I think that sort of general feeling, general understanding is something that's pretty much permeated life and culture forever. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like kids nowadays still have these problems, but I just feel like there's so many distractions and they have so much other shit. Their mind and their concerns are just like in other areas. It's about, you know, being an influencer or, you know, it's about the materialism and looking good and looking cool and having the newest phone and newest iWatch, which
what am I going to identify with? How do I define myself? You know,
how am I not myself?
Yeah. How am I not myself? So,
but I mean, he said anger, my anger dwells inside of me. I'm taking it all out on you. You know?
That's kind of a dark, bleak outlook.
Yeah. Track number three.
Chump.
Uh,
And this is funny because I one of the early lines in it is, what does he say? Like, I don't know you, but I think I hate you.
I think I hate you. Yeah.
I mean, and that's to me, that's very much like, I feel like one thing I like about today's society is that with like the whole, I feel like there's just in general, except when you get to the fringes, there seems to be a little more just acceptance in general and just understanding that people are different. And that's actually okay. That doesn't make them better or worse. But I feel like it at this time, like when we were kids, you were like, you're lumped into a category, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like in high school, you had the athletes, you had the dorks, and then you had
the burnouts.
And then you had the weird burnout alternative kids. Yeah. It was kind of like that. That was it.
Yeah. You know? And to me, this song is just that. It's like you see someone else and you don't really want to care to understand where they're from or what their things are. You just know that they're not like me and I don't like them because of that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know what you're doing right now and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny, man, because this song, like it, you know, it's almost 3 minutes, but basically the song really changes halfway through and it gets into this, well, what I could call for sort of Green Day, this little jammy kind of thing.
Yeah.
It transitions about a little
as much
bit,
as it's going right? to get. Yeah. They're not
a punk transition.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly like them covering Dark Star by the Dead, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, but it's cool, man, because it does flow right into Longview.
Dude, I know, and I was going to
really like the transition.
I do too. And it actually, to listen to it, it's kind of a bummer when you hear, like, if you listen to it digitally, when you hear the skip over, because you can hear the drum pattern starting up, and I don't know. It's great the way it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is cool. But the bass line, the bassist wrote it while he was tripping on LSD. So I thought that was pretty sweet.
Wow. That is cool.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's a solid bass line. I don't know how trippy it is, but it's a good one. I dig it.
Yeah.
You know, but basically Billy Joe said, like, you know, the character, or, you know, was based on himself. You know, it was during the time he lived in Rodeo, California. And literally he was like, yeah, there is nothing to do except watch TV, smoke weed and masturbate. And he had no motivation to even I should do something else or like change. He was like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to stick with this. I'm just going to go with it. And, you know, I mean, after a few weeks, man, I'll tell you what, I'd have to probably do something else.
Like a day, but
yeah, you say that now, you know, because you're like, man, I just got too much shit to do.
Yeah, back then, though, sure.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, I could really use a long weekend of this.
Yeah.
Well, then we go to track number 5.
To Paradise. Now, I didn't read as much about this. Was this also living in that same time? Or because this to me sounds like somebody basically moving to a big city and they think it's going to be like totally amazing. And they get there and they're kind of like, this place is a little bit of a shithole.
So essentially it was about him living in just different bad neighborhoods around.
Yeah. Oakland. Okay.
You know, so and just basically, I think each place sucked, even if you move to a different place. You know, when you move to another place, a lot of times I think our American sort of mindset is like, oh, I'm moving to a new place, it's going to be bigger and better and nicer.
Yeah,
and
yeah, absolutely.
Even if you have this mindset, like all of a sudden it's kind of like, yeah, either it's a downgrade, or, you know, it may seem nice at first, but then that's not all
it's not always an upgrade with two D's for a double dose of pimping.
Exactly. Yeah. But this song was actually also originally, it was on Kerplunk.
Okay.
And I listened to that version of it, and it's, for all intents and purposes, the song is the same.
Yeah.
Now the recording of it and the sound of it, like we talked about on the earlier episode, it's much more raw. Definitely the guitar is more raw and everything. Okay. And the, you know, there's no way they could have taken that recording of it and put it on this album, because it just wouldn't have fit, like, the overall sound and everything. Like, from a production standpoint, it's much nicer on this. Now, from a punk standpoint, it may not be appreciated as much.
Yeah.
As, you know,
this is the
adult
contemporary version.
Exactly. This is the Kenny G version.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on. I always liked the song, though, dude. I thought it was, I think it's good.
It's you know, one of my top ones on it.
Third single from it, and it's pretty great. So, moving on, track number six, Grim.
Pulling teeth.
I'm all busted up, broken bones and nasty cuts. Accidents will happen, but this time I can't get up.
Now, this sounds like about a relationship sort of thing. Like, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah. So essentially, though, like, what it is it's about a domestic. Well, it uses dark humor about a domestic violence incident. But essentially what it is the victim and perpetrator are reversed. And it was based off an incident where the bass player got in a pillow fight with his girlfriend. And it ended with him breaking his elbow. So I don't think it was necessarily like this, you know, horrible, you know, domestic violence incident, but that's sort of what happened and how they kind of spun it and everything. But
interesting.
Yes. But yeah, man, for not being a single, this is one of the songs like I kind of knew and it definitely heard. And it's, you know, definitely one of the more, I think, poppy songs on the album. And I remember hearing that some of the songs were influenced by the Beatles. And I definitely, like, if you listen to this one, I definitely hear some like just kind of Beatles influence and the transitions and everything. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So then, Grim, we
you
move
go
on
to the big one.
The other big one.
Yeah. Basket Case.
The other big one.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once?
Basket Case.
Now, Basket Case is interesting musically because it follows a chord progression that a lot of us would know. And that chord progression is from Pachelbel's Canon. Which Ooh. You would know they play at weddings, and it's if you look it up, it's just a very widely known classical song. But this follows that chord progression, and I think that's why it's so well relatable. But they just, you know, they kind of punk it up. And it's just funny because I saw there's a YouTube video of this guy who's a musician and a comedian, and he has his guitar, and he starts talking about Pachelbel's Canon and how it's just permeated popular culture. And he just keeps playing the same chord progression and starts throwing in different lyrics from popular songs. And it's very interesting when you see that, and then you have this, and he starts singing this too. So,
dude, that's great, man. I love that. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. It worked because it was a very big hit. And it's interesting, man, because again, I didn't really understand and relate to what he was actually singing about. But a lot of this is, you know, it was about his anxiety attacks and feelings of, they said, going crazy before he was diagnosed with a panic disorder. And once you realize sort of that's kind of what it's about, I'm like, wow, okay, these lyrics make a lot more sense now.
So
should we move on?
I always like She is one of the better songs for like not the hits.
Right. Yeah, it's it has a much different feel than at least in the beginning of than all the other songs.
Yeah.
You know, he wrote it. Well, I guess his girlfriend at the time showed him a feminist poem, which was called She.
Yeah.
And then he kind of wrote the song and wrote the lyrics and everything. And then she ended up moving away. And that's when he was like, oh, OK, well, I think I'm going to put this on the album then. But I've always liked it. Again, I think it's really poppy and it has those poppy transitions a lot, like some early Beatles really stuff, like, and everything.
Bass lines in it. I think Mike Dirnt does a really good job.
Mike Dirnt. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I forgot his first name, so I just kept calling him the bass player because I didn't want to sound like a douche. Sorry, Mike. I know you're watching. My apologies to the Queen Mary. Track number 9, Sassafras Roots. This was sort of interesting because, again, it's sort of it's like a love song, essentially, is what they kind of said. But it's kind
another
of
a love song,
just another love song. But it's about sort of people being in a relationship and sort of just like wasting time. And yeah, sure. I think that's something like a lot of people do. I've done it from time to time where you're in a situation and you're like, I'm unhappy, but I'm comfortable. And
it's less painful to just stick it out than it is to. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Then it's like, I could end this, but then, I'd have to like start over again.
My toothbrush. And,
yeah. It's a real pain in the ass. I think it's something, definitely a lot of people go through and everything, but as as a song, I think it's a good song. I'm okay with it. Then we go, Graham, to the fourth single.
The town that sets the world around. Cause you know where I'll be found when I come around.
This is my favorite of the singles. Come around.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Is there something about
it?
I just
always remember when I heard this as a kid. Welcome to Paradise is really good, but this one it just has the kind of chord progression that kind of hooks you in.
Dude, I mean, I love that. There's something about it that makes it sound different than a lot of the other songs on the album to me. I love the riff on it. I just think it's sweet.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Big fan of the song. So it definitely, I mean, to have four songs, that were this popular.
Yeah.
This is the fourth one that I think it came out either almost a full year was released as a single after the album was released, man, dude, like staying relevant, an album to stay relevant like that long is
pretty cool. Sure. I hear you. So,
Coming. Then we go to Clean. Coming Clean.
17 and strung out on confusion. Tried to design a robot disillusion.
Dude, I don't know if you read about sort of the backstory of this, but again, I didn't fully understand and some of the deeper meaning of it and everything, but this is really him, he said, coming to terms with his bisexuality as a teenager and trying to get an understanding or a handle of maybe his preference, his sexual orientation. And now he said he's never had a relationship with a man, but it is something that comes up and it's sort of been like a struggle for him. So something that I think now that's something that people are a little more open to talking about and discussing, maybe not in 1994.
Not in 1994,
but it's one of those things though. Again, you look back at some of the lyrics and you're like, well, okay, that sort of makes sense now. But he says like, skeletons come to life in my closet. I found out what it takes to be a man. Now mom and dad will never understand, what's happening to me. And it's, you know, some of the things where it's like, you know, one thing a lot of, you know, I guess teenagers and stuff, you know, go through, especially with their parents, is like, oh, you don't understand me. You don't know what it's like and you don't know what I'm going through and everything. But there are like these kinds of things, these coming of age things that, you know, you do have to go through and kind of navigate and whatnot.
And in some sense, I mean, your parents may not understand that, you know?
Yeah. And some parents wouldn't even be comfortable having that sort of conversation.
Oh,
some
people absolutely. Aren't open with. Yeah.
So it's certainly can be a challenge. Now, then we go to what? Track number 12.
Amenia Sleepis.
Amenia Sleepis. This is Mike Dirnt's song.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, though, because it's about, you know, it asks sort of a lot of questions and it's sort of conversational in that sense. But it's about, you know, two friends who like meet up years later and it's like, oh, man, you know, you're kind of learning like, oh, man, this person's really changed. They're not the same as they used to be. And that sort of got some things thinking in my head a little bit. It was like, well, OK, is it they've changed? Or you've changed, or you both changed. Like what, you know, what is it here? Because sometimes, you know, people don't always look in the mirror at like how much maybe they've changed.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a, you know, it's an all right song again, dude. This is where we get into sort of like we start ripping through them. Like Coming Clean is at 135
And
this song 144, next one 146. Like, dude,
in the end, not to be confused with In the End by Moore.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But In the End. I thought this was kind of fun. So he wrote this song about how he felt about his mom choosing his stepfather as a partner. And, you know, if it's interesting, that's pretty observant. And I think a lot of people, you know, especially people coming from divorced households and whatnot, you know, especially if you're, you know, you have your mom, you know, a lot of young boys are protective of their mothers. And you have this guy coming in. He's kind of like moving in. You're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, but you might be a little more skeptical because it's sort of this, you know, the alpha male thing. Of
oh,
like,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
Kind of like butting heads. And, you know, this guy's moving in on your mom and stuff. And it's like, all right, hey, what's your angle?
In more ways than one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's your game here? What are you doing? So I just thought it was interesting to have a song about that. But again, a lot of these carry on the theme and the time frame of that, you know, that middle teenager year kind of thing. And growing up.
Something like this is sort of a timeless song in that way, because a lot of kids are going through. Yeah.
Yep. A lot of people's girlfriends are in there.
Yeah.
So then Grimm, track number 14.
Oh,
FOD.
Something's on my mind. It's been for quite some time. It's time I'm on to you.
You know what
known as.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
I mean, it's
pretty obvious what he's saying. Now, I like how this is probably the only time you hear like an acoustic guitar.
Acoustic.
Yeah.
Well, and then into the hidden track, which we'll get to. But
gosh, yeah.
But yeah, no, you do. I was going to ask you, I was like, yeah, is this the first time we've really heard an acoustic track? But to my knowledge and memory, I believe
this is a great track. And I think it's a good one for the end. And then in classic 90s fashion, you have now you stream it and they're separate, which was funny because when I was listening to it, I just noticed that there were 15 songs, but I forgot that they separated them. But yeah. So then it goes into All By Myself, which is a Trey Cool joint.
And it is a Trey Cool joint.
You know,
the hidden track.
To let your CD play.
Yeah. And it's fun. You know, it's a fun little silly song that now I don't know, for scratching purposes, are we considering this one?
I wouldn't, man, because you got to think about it, how it came out. And even now, like if they if they, you know, put it out on vinyl, it would, well, I mean, there might, there wouldn't be that, they wouldn't be that like empty line in between songs.
Right.
It would be quiet or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. So it is one track. Are we considering it? Like it's mixed with, it's not on its own. It's with FOD.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That sounds great. That sounds great. I don't think that's really going to impact, you know, what we're about to do, but.
So with that in mind, I want to ask you before we go into scratching, I don't really know what we're going to scratch with, but in this case, what is your favorite song?
I'm pretty, I'm going to be pretty boring probably with this. And I probably would say, I know they've been overplayed a lot, but man, I really like Longview and Welcome to Paradise. I just do. I might say Welcome to Paradise because I really like his vocal inflections and the way he sings it and whatnot. There's something really cool about it. I really like that. And I thought it was cool how they re-recorded it. I just thought that, you know, it's interesting when bands do that. And I hadn't heard the previous version before. But it was interesting because I was like, this is pretty much the same, just like sort of different production on it. Of the non-hits or non-singles, I think She would probably be up there. I really like that one a lot. So I think She might be up there.
Nice.
What about you?
Well, I had mentioned of the singles, my favorite one is When I Come Around. And after that, dude, it's FOD, dude.
Is it? Just
I don't really like care anger. About the, I just like how it's
the starts. Aggressiveness.
And then it just kind of, you know, because everything else has been so straight ahead. You never had that sort of that lead in of something softer and then everything just coming in. But I just, you know. And I like some of the lyrics in it. Let's burn the bridge we torched 1,000 times before.
Times.
This time we'll blow it all to hell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. No, I can dig that. I can dig that. All right. So I guess I should scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should. I hate to be overly destructive, but in the theme of the cover, there's a bomb going off. So do we scratch with a bomb?
I guess it'd have to be a little or one.
scratch with a turd
or the pin of a grenade.
A little dookie.
Yeah.
A little doggy.
Well,
dookie.
There's some corn in there, maybe.
Oh. All right, Grim. I am going to go with Pulling Teeth.
Okay.
I don't really have a great reason for it. I think it would be pretty cool. Like, I mean, if you're a fan of the hits, going from Longview, Welcome to Paradise, right into Basket Case. I mean, that's a solid three song run.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, I do like Pulling Teeth, but it's just, I don't know. I think that's just one I could sort of do without, I guess.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would scratch Sassafras Roots. Because I don't, again, don't hate that it's hard to, unless you hate the whole album, because it all sounds very in the same sort of, you know.
Space.
Yeah. But I just think She into When I Come Around would be an interesting, that would be fine. And Sassafras, it's just not one that I like overly cling to. So,
yeah, I can see that. I kind of like, I guess what I would, why I think I like that song is I kind of like what's about, because it's just about, you know, just about, again, wasting time is very prevalent throughout this album, but it's like, people doing that in a relationship and everything just to kind of like, we're just going to kind of go through the motions until, you know, one of us sabotages it. So
path of least resistance. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. That's why we have so many happy marriages.
Well, with that in mind, you know, look, listen, look, take a dookie in the comments section below.
Like, subscribe,
and let us know what you think.
Let us know what track is your favorite, what track you guys would scratch. There's got to be one. I mean, that's just how the game is played.
Is it silly now, or is it still as relevant as it was when you had all that teen angst and you were just so pissed?
I just hate it all.
Yeah.
Right? FOD.
Yeah. All right.
FOD from TD and G. Time to go.
TTG. TGAG the show.
All right.
Scratch a Track is produced by the Dude and Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tims. Copyright 2023. The Dude and Grim Show.